When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
Hey, it's me, Jersey, and it's time for your Thunder Punch Daily, the show I record not so daily, sharing a few thoughts from the mind of a cartoonist. So I'm going to give you a full report on my experience with the Ignite presentations next time, because that's going to be episode 100, and I want to do a little bit of a longer one, because I think I got a lot to say about my experience with that, and a lot of observations that I can walk away with and hand over to you, the art and story listener. But today, for this episode, what I want to go into is, it relates somewhat to the Ignite presentations. It's the whole Diamond Digital thing, the Diamond Digital distribution thing. If you haven't heard about it yet, I blogged about it on comicsaregreat.com/blog, and I put a link to a Publisher's Weekly article, which I'll link in the show notes for this, that outlines essentially a plan by Diamond distributors to negotiate ways to get digital versions of comic books into the hands of hungry readers. And I should also say that this was mentioned and covered a little bit on a recent Webcomics Weekly podcast, which I'll also link in the show notes. They talked about it a little bit. And I am going to say that I do plan on doing a full episode of Comics Are Great about this. There's some people that I know that I think would be able to lend some really good insights to this from a bunch of different standpoints outside of the comics industry. So more on that soon. I will be posting about it on the Twitters. But I wanted to share a few thoughts that occurred to me now as I think about it. And it's funny that this should happen right around the same time that I did a presentation for Ignite Chelsea on the 21st Century Cartoonist. And if you haven't heard it yet, I posted on the Comics Are Great site in the podcast section. It's right on the main page. You can scroll down and see the podcast section. I actually posted the audio from my presentation, and the thesis essentially is the model of the 21st century cartoonist, as I see it, is it's somebody who shares expertise, shares knowledge, shares resources, and help to other creators, people in the industry, as well as people who aspire to be a professional creator. But they do it not only on the internet, but locally, because local still trumps global in a certain respect, in that personal interaction, one-on-one interaction, is much richer than anything you can get on the internet yet. We're getting there. But I still don't think that telepresence is nearly as good as actually looking over somebody's shoulder. I think a lot of you will agree with me on that. So as I'm building my point here to how my reaction to the Diamond Digital thing is, there's jokes being made by people about, let's face it, it's funny, to put it in a nutshell, it's a system by which you go to participating comic stores. They sell digital versions on their website. So, okay, so I'm Marvel Comics or I'm IDW Comics or I'm a, let's just say, Boom Studios or some other smaller independent company, and I have books carried in that store, and then the participating stores can have a website where they sell digital editions, but the only way to get those digital editions is for the customer to come in, purchase the print edition, and then they are printed off a coupon code with which they can type in the code on their digital device and download the the digital edition later or at the store if they want. Now, the funny thing about this is I posted this on Twitter, as I said, this just in, Best Buy launches a new MP3 buying plan where you actually have to go to the store to get the MP3s. It seems silly. It seems antithetical to the whole model of digital distribution. What makes it great is that you can get it anywhere, wherever you have a terminal and internet access. You can buy the darn thing. You shouldn't have to go to a physical place to get a digital edition. It's just silly. And it's even more comical that you have to print out a coupon code in order to get the digital edition. I can't even fathom what's the reasoning behind that. But as they talked about on Webcomics Weekly, which I thought was pretty astute, and they pointed out that this was bringing in several middlemen who have no business collecting money on these digital editions, and it raises a very valid question: is the creator getting anything out of this? We don't know what the percentage breakdowns of what middlemen get what, but it stands to reason we can assume pretty comfortably that the creators aren't getting much out of this. So Now, some people have said that this is a transparent attempt to placate the local comic stores in the United States, the LCSs. Although Barry Gregory pointed it out, as he put a comment on my site, because I did a blog post about this with my reaction. He said that it has nothing to do with protecting local comic stores as much as it does to stifle or a vain attempt to stifle the embracing of digital distribution. But let's just go with the first conceit, that this is about protecting local comic stores. And I do want to say, as I said in my blog post, that I have nothing against local comic stores. I don't wish them to go out of existence. I wish them nothing but the best. However, I am utterly against the idea of trying to create business models to preserve their existing business model that's been disrupted by internet and digital distribution. We don't owe them that. They are a business. And if we want, you know, small business people, independent business people, just like independent cartoonists, one of our powers is being able to roll with the punches, quickly steer the ship in different directions as the needs or as the tides change. So what should they change to? Well, going back to my Ignite Chelsea presentation, where the 21st century cartoonist gets involved locally, again, this is the one thing that a local comic store has over the internet. It's local. And I want to point people also, and again, this is in the blog post, but I'll put this in the show notes, a presentation by Eli Nyberger of the Ann Arbor District Library. He did a wonderful presentation at an online summit about the future of libraries. And the situation the libraries face is almost absolutely synonymous with what's going on in the comics industry. What are libraries? Well, when we think of them, we think of them as repositories for books. But as more and more books become digitized and are ebooks and are able to be purchased for very little money through Amazon or the Apple Store or, you know, Barnes & Noble, wherever, and you're not faced with the problems of storage because you've got this device that can hold like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of books, whereas normally you would need a library for that. The question is raised, is the library even relevant anymore? Well, so says Eli that it is relevant if you look at it from its original purpose. Its original purpose was to keep local records and local periodicals, local publications, like the newspaper archives. I don't know if you guys have ever seen these, but at most local libraries, they have these gigantic, or they used to. I think there's like nowadays there's these moves towards these digitization projects where they're actually digitizing or putting onto microfilm newspapers going back the entire 20th century. So you can look up an article from a 1919 local paper. So if you look at the library as a building that houses local materials, then it's got something there. It's got something that the internet doesn't have. But he takes the logic out even further. And this is really amazing because it's very much in line with things that I've been thinking for a long time, is that if you turn the library into a vehicle for local publishing... And when I say publishing, I'm not just talking about books. I'm talking about creating media of any kind, music, movies, TV shows, commercials, short stories, books, comics, etc. Producing any form of media. If you look at the library as being a place where the taxpayer money is used to create facilities to allow local people to participate and create content that will be housed in the library, now you've got something that the library can do that the internet just can't do. It's collecting. This is the voice of this city. This is the voice of this municipality. That's interesting. And I think that is very much where local comic stores have an advantage, is they are local. They have very enthusiastic patrons who want the store to succeed. So what if you reached out more and contacted local cartoonists, local comics enthusiasts, and create major store, if it has a website, instead of selling digital editions of Marvel, DC, IDW comics, sell digital editions of local cartoonists' work. Create podcasts with reading groups. You know, it doesn't even have to be like an art and story kind of podcast. It could be just like a group of guys who are reviewing some of the latest things that they've read, comics news, or it could even be art and story kind of stuff, like a local comics group. We just released an episode of Art and Story, I think it's episode 171, The Big Do-Upon, where at the tail end of the episode, we talk a lot about starting up local comics groups to learn more, to self-educate. Create a self-education podcast. through the store. Create videos through the store. Make the local comic store a place to get content that you cannot get anyplace else. There's the rarity. There's the scarcity that everybody always talks about. If digital distribution has made big corporate properties no longer, if they're no longer scarce, either through, you know, pirated scans or through digital distribution through things like iTunes, then let's create content that you can't get anyplace else and make the local comic store a nexus for that kind of thing. And now here's what you've done. You've opened up your store to more than just the superhero fans. Now you're getting all the community involved. Because you're diversifying your content. You're diversifying the kinds of comics that can be found there because you're going to local cartoonists who aren't just trying to be Marvel or DC. There, as a matter of fact, I would venture to say, I'll go out on a limb here and say that most independent cartoonists don't want to do anything like Marvel and DC. They want to do something that's wholly their own, that feels unique. And a lot of these cartoonists don't have the reach to do wide digital distribution, and that's where a local comic store could be a partner in making the local public more aware of this stuff, getting more digital editions sold. They could sell it on a consignment, but a commission, you know, sell it a 50-50 split for that matter. Local comic store is making a little bit of extra money. The local cartoonist is being supported by the local community. And, you know, do it as a non-exclusive contract so the local cartoonist can also do a website if they want. They can reach a global audience. But, man, my personal experience has been enough proof to me that if you get involved in the community, you can become... I'm not going to say that I'm a local celebrity because you guys know how I feel about local, even the term celebrity. But I am becoming known in my area for what I do. And I was leading a workshop, and I think I talked about this in an art story a while back. I was leading a workshop a while back where I was teaching a classroom full of kids. And, you know, I teach so much now that I don't recognize every face that comes into my workshops. But I showed a picture of Jared up on the screen as I was going through my presentation, and I was explaining something about the front. And a little kid in the classroom looks up, sees Jared, and says, "No, be angry, have slushy." He quoted my book. You know, this kid was familiar with my work because he had attended my workshops, became familiarized with my work through my workshops, and became a fan of my work as a result of that. That is one of the advantages to becoming locally involved and creating a scene in your area. And scenes, let's go into that just for a few minutes here. This is something that Demophon, Jono, Demophon on the Twitters, demophon.tumblr.com, he and I have been discussing this off mic, on and off, for a while now. Is how do you start up a comic scene? Because musicians, you can form a band, a couple bands can put on a show, and then like whatever kind of shared audio aesthetic, whatever you want to call it, that you have can create a scene, like the grunge rock scene or whatever. How come comics can't have that? And that's something that's really worth exploring. And so, as you know, my reaction, my response to that has been to start up things like the Ann Arbor Comic Artist Forum, the free monthly event that I act as an advisor to at the Ann Arbor District Library. Also, this March 12th in Ann Arbor, Michigan, we're going to have sort of a one-day mini Kids Read Comics event called the Kids Read Comics Extravaganza. Free event. I managed to get so far I've got like 15 different cartoonists on board to come out for the day for free. They're just volunteering their time because they believe in the mission. They want to help get more kids reading comics, and they just want to have a party, just have a fun time with a bunch of other cartoonists putting on a show for people. So that's what I'm talking about when I talk about a scene, putting on like sort of like a spectacle for the public to gather around, right? The local comic store could be sort of a nexus of a scene if they participate with their local cartoonists. So, okay, so I'm making my case. What does this got to do with any of you guys? Well, some of you guys have mentioned on the Twitters in the past in emails and in other ways that I communicate with you guys that, you know, you may live in an area where you don't know where there's any other cartoonists. And I remember, I'm not going to say who, but I remember seeing a tweet from somebody that I follow. I think it's a Supreme Storier. Who posted something along the lines of how bummed out it makes them sometimes when they see people tweeting about, oh, I'm having lunch with at so-and-so and at so-and-so, and it's all these like big names in comics or just people that this person admires in comics. And this person in particular was saying, gosh, I wish I got to do that, but there are no cartoonists in my area. I bet you there are. There's a lot of people that want to make comics and like or at least enjoy it as a hobby. And it's my suspicion that there's more of them all around us that we're just not aware of. It's like when I think of a friend of mine who was kind of dateless for a long time, and he reported that the problem was that he is a misanthrope and a homebody, And the girl that's right for him is also a misanthrope and a homebody, and they'll never get to meet because they're not going to go to a bar to meet each other. They're not going to go to a party to meet each other. That's not the kind of people they are, you know? And I think it's the same thing with cartoonists as well. So you really have to kind of plant a flag in the ground and make some noise about it and see if you can gather some people to it. And so this is where we get to, like, the point of action is I do think that, at least here in the United States, I don't know what other markets are like. I'm sure it's similar in Canada. If you go to a local comic store and you start a relationship with them, and really start a relationship, don't just walk in and say, hey, I want to have an event at your store. You know, I've spent the last, I would say, 3.5 years really nurturing and forging relationships with all these businesses before I could do something like the Kids Read Comics Extravaganza. But anyway, form a relationship with them, and I bet you could start something up like that. And that saves the comic store. And it would save the comic store if you explore, in my opinion anyway, it's my belief that if you explore this model of, hey, let's create a website for your comic store if you don't have one already. Or if you do have one, let's create a section on your site where people can get digital PDF editions of this local cartoonist's works. There's nothing for you to stock. You don't have to worry about commissions or consignment or any of that kind of stuff. Because I know local comic stores are skittish about stocking new things in their shelves. Comic books are very expensive. And what's more is shelf space is at a premium right now. So that alleviates that threat for them, that risk. And then you offer to create events to raise awareness of this digital content. Now they're breaking into a whole new revenue stream, a whole new business model. They benefit, you create a scene in your area, you become a resource for the community. And I don't think this is utopian of me. I really honestly believe this would be a way to improve the entire situation of the comics industry without even bothering with all those corporate companies who clearly have no interest in improving the industry. If they did, they'd be making more aggressive moves to reach new audiences, and they wouldn't do everything like any new attempt at a kid's line of books or a girl's line of books. They wouldn't take that so half-heartedly or, in my opinion, chicken-heartedly. So those are a few thoughts that occur to me now. Like I said, I'm going to do a full episode of Comics Are Great about this because I'm really interested in exploring the subject deeply with a bunch of other really intelligent people. So stay tuned for that. I'll be posting about it on the Twitters, or just go to comicsaregreat.com or go to artstrikepodcast.com. I'm sure this is something that's going to come up on the show as well. One of the things that I want to explore more seriously on the Art and Story show, and I think Mark and Kevin agree with me, is doing more business shows. And I'm sure that this topic of digital distribution will come up again and again because it's a fascinating topic. It's an exciting topic. It's changing a lot of things. And, we can't wait for the quote-unquote big players to make these changes. It's got to happen on the ground from people who actually understand how this technology works, who understands what people want, and who's creating content that the general public is interested in, not just people who are Captain America fans. Okay, I feel exercised. So who am I? I'm Jersey, jdrose.com, Jersey on the Twitters. Thanks a lot for subscribing to this content. We really couldn't do it without you. I also want to say, before I jump into the next episode where I'm going to talk about my Ignite presentations, thank you guys all very much for all the great support that you gave me as I was preparing for that event. It definitely gave me a lot of reassurance that I was going to do okay. And as it turns out, as a spoiler for next episode, it did turn out pretty okay with a few hiccups. So I will be back soon with another Thunder Punch Daily. And until then, remember everybody...
In today's story, Skeletor tried to conquer Eternia by using animals in an evil way. Animals, like all living things, should be treated with kindness and respect. I hope that those of you who have a dog or cat or maybe even a hamster remember that. When we have a pet, we also have a responsibility because they depend on us. But you can be sure of one thing, however much we love them, they return that love and more. Well, time for me to disappear. Bye.